Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice, dude. Actually, I'd be open to that too. Or we could go like weekend two, you know, a little more chill.
Yeah. All right, everybody ready to rock?
Honestly, Stagecoach probably have some things you're interested in.
Well, funny enough, as we start this, got home pretty early on a Saturday evening for me, so I was watching Jelly Roll, his Stagecoach performance.
Didn't show all the big-titted blondes in the audience, but... Yeah.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right. Welcome to a brand new edition of the podcast. I'll be the host of your podcast, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Oh, the upper left-hand corner, getting ready to beam in from Austin. He goes on him now. What's up?
Golly, boys, what a start. And Ted, just the festival streaming guy now. What's up, boys? I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's get it.
Down there in the bottom square, checking out all the hotties at Stagecoach on the stream. Matt, Kyle, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Good to see you, boys. Missed you last week and ready to rock.
I bet Stagecoach had to be pretty in town.
Yeah, I didn't get out a ton last week, but I just know that, you know, the country scene. I mean, you guys, we called it here first. What was that, you guys at Kenny Chesney when you were like, this is a gold mine?
Yep.
It's just blown up and we become the epicenter of it for a weekend.
Dude, it is funny. Cobb's not wrong. Matt, you have ruined me. Like, so I watched the first weekend of Coachella, and then I went up to Leavenworth at a Friday off. So I drive up to Leavenworth Thursday night. And then Friday, we like had a big long day and everything. And I was like, everybody down in the basement tonight in between foosball games, like Lady Gaga's hit the stage at, you know, 11:20. Like, you got to get down here. I mean, during the day, like before dinner, I was down there. Like, now I'm a Benson Boone guy. Like, this guy was great.
Benson Boone.
Yeah. I had no idea who he was. But
you know he's from Monroe, right?
Oh, I heard he's from the state of Washington. I didn't realize he was from Monroe.
Monroe, Mormon.
Oh, well, he was out there crushing it. But yeah, and then last weekend, like I said, had a whole week off. So like Saturday evening was pretty chill. We're over at the mayor's place. I just like to say putting up lights, mainly watching Rowan put up lights. but then evening ended pretty quickly. So I got home and I was like, oh, Stagecoach is going on. It wasn't on YouTube. It was over on Amazon. But yeah, same thing. I watched all of Jelly Roll's set. I was like, I still love going to concerts, but man, Couchcella and then Couch Stagecoach at 10 o'clock at night on a Saturday. It's hard to beat.
Yeah, no kidding. There's a lot, man, lots to dive into there.
I got one question, Ted.
Just real quick.
You watched weekend two of Coachella. Did you check out the Humid stage at all?
I can't remember. Who was on it?
So it's all DJs. It's nonstop.
Oh, I watched Tiesto's set from the first weekend.
Okay. I don't think he was in there though, because that's like a smaller it's like a 11-hour rave. Like the lights are just insane in there. But they didn't stream it weekend one. They streamed another stage instead. And then weekend two, Yuma stage was up.
All right.
But
now, because I tried to watch a little bit of Cascade and Idris Elba.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, they were on bigger stages. Wow. I think they were
biggest boss of the summer.
Yeah.
Ted, you do have like a little UK flair always, dude.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, I was telling somebody the other day, I go, look, people will judge this statement if you listen to any type of EDM, but, like, I fucking love Tiesto, man. And I realized, like, I'm a trance guy. That's what I like.
Late night trance. Honestly, that actually kind of makes sense. If you had told me that, I would have been like, Ted, trance? No way. But seeing as how you get stronger as the night goes on, like, trance really finds its stride about 2:30 a.m., I've noticed. And that's, like, right on par with your peak.
Yeah, like I watched his whole set in the beginning, the sunlight's still out, and like right away there's girls up on shoulders, right? And they're ready to like rage. And it's like, hang on now. Tiesto's got a little 90-minute adventure for us. Like we don't just come out of the gate headbanging.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't just get big.
Right. By the end, it's fucking awesome. But yeah, I just, you know, the mayor's son is my now since he's a DJ, he's my go-to, and I'm just like, it is trance. And he's like, yeah, dude, it's what you like. I'm like, all right. But I still like other stuff. I just can't get in to the dubstep now and like headbanging at a fucking rave. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. Dubstep is over. Dude, boys, we are dialed in tonight because I was just at the dog park, and literally the two things I was talking about were the Firebirds, which Matt has the Firebirds shirt, and I was talking about the mayor's son and how that's how I knew Dom Dalla was good and went to see him with 150 people before he played MCG. So, yeah, or why did I say MCG, the Melbourne Cricketing Grounds? I meant MSG, Madison Square Garden. Yeah, dude, I love it. And I'm with you. That's where I get most of my music now, too.
Yeah. He's such a good source. Yeah. I mean, he's had me obsessed with Dom Dalla and John Summit for like the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Actually, all the, there's three guys who work at the popcorn shop, and all three of them are DJs. It's like the mayor's son and his two friends. I'm just like, what are you boys listening to? Like, we literally had a long staff meeting, and then I'm like, all right, meeting's over. People can go home. So, boys, what are we listening to?
Well, it's like, do you know the country guy, Kane Brown?
No.
By name, but couldn't tell you.
Yeah, but like his music's a little more like upbeat. And I'm like, it is a little more upbeat. Like it's barely country. And then I realized like the songs I like, he produced them with freaking Marshmello. So I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense. Like there's enough twang in it. And he's talking about hanging out in the back of a truck. But, you know, like it's almost dance music.
Yeah, Marshmello crossover. Also, on the Benson Boone front, man, I gotta say, I've seen him live, and you know, of course, he's getting some flack now for Coachella for whatever reason. That guy is an incredible musician, incredible performer, and an amazing songwriter. Some of the best male vocals I've ever heard in person. So, if you get the chance to see Benson Boone, you know, plus him being a Washington local, like, do it. Really great. But I will say, the show I went to, I didn't realize that he's very popular with 14-year-old girls. And so it was myself, my wife, and 5,000 14-year-old women screaming every time he said anything into the mic. So we left early, but I did very much enjoy the show.
Dude, that happened to Migsy and I once. He was like, it's this band from New York. This was years ago. And I'm like, all right. And he's like, yeah, not like, what do we play him? He's like, no. But like, I really like him, this and that. And then, like, same thing, we get there, and it's at the Showbox Market, and, like, we're up in the bar, and, like, we're the only two people in the bar.
Sad sign.
The bulk of their audience was, like, teenage girls, and I was, like, or, like, halfway through, I was, like, is that, like, a song you're waiting for, man? I'm, like, I don't think we should go. And it's just that pitch in their voices when they scream. I don't know how to explain it. It's just like, all right, enough.
Yeah, it's deafening. I mean, you can see why, like, you know, girls get a new car for their sweet 16 occasionally. Like, it's just, you know, it'll bring a grown man to their knees.
All right. So I did have last week off. First of all, went up to Leavenworth, had a nice house. Actually, we were out in Plain, but a dope cabin right there on the Wenatchee River. I think I texted you guys, Rob, and Rob and I definitely got in that river. It was cold. It was cold.
Yeah. Like,
I can feel my boys jumping inside of me right now talking about it.
Oh, that's the real deal, dude. That's all glacier melt for people who aren't from the Northwest. I mean, that's like straight from the source. You're probably less than 2 miles from ice.
Yeah. Right. So we got up there Thursday night. We're hanging out in the hot tub, drinking champagne. Friday morning, we get up. He's got reservations at the that new adventure park and the Alpine Slides.
Mm.
Have you guys ever been on those yet?
I've seen them, and I'm no. I watched a documentary, and they had some of those that people were like getting injured on. It was like whatever that the thing in New Jersey, and I saw those in Leavenworth, and I was like, oh my god, no! They look fun as hell, though.
So you're talking about Action Park.
Yes, Action Park, they had them, and people were getting just, like, yeah, tossed.
I won't lie, man. Those Alpine slides, they test your measure a little bit. I mean, you're just like, first of all, it is awesome. 10 out of 10, would recommend doing again. But, yeah, you're just like in this little plastic, almost like sled, like you'd go sledding down, right? And then there's just two little handles on each side. So when you press them down, that lets up the brake, and you're just going with momentum, right? And then if you let up a little bit, it'll brake. So they're like, keep 80 feet in front of you. What's he say? 80 feet in front of you, like, basically, like, it's up to you. Do whatever you want, right? So I was like, I'm going to bomb this thing. There were some tight corners, boys. Like, some corners have nets, some corners don't. I was like, oh, I got to break a little bit.
Like, are you strapped, like, into this thing?
Just a normal-ass seatbelt.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and this is, like, in steep, rocky mountains, too. Jesus.
I mean, that's the only thing that sucks is it was a sunny day. It was so beautiful. Like, but, I mean, they are strict. Like, take off your hat. Like, don't have your phone in your hand. Like, you're going to lose it.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, you know, if people haven't been on these things, I mean, the sled you're on is, it's not the most professional looking setup, I'll say this. And as far as, like, you know, if you want to compare it to a roller coaster, I mean, you're essentially in a metal rain gutter as far as the track. Is that far off?
Right, but imagine most roller coasters, like, you know, like, I don't know, there's bars, safety measures.
There's a speech with a kid in a uniform. This is just like some gas station attendant 17-year-old. He's like, well,
there's a video playing in each end. One end wasn't even in English. And then you get up there and it's like, all right, we got you buckled in. Yep, give a thumbs up to the camera. On your way. And then just click, 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 click. You're just going up.
Oh, I mean, my God.
It's so steep going up. I was like, do I need to lean forward? Like, and also they have signs. Max weight, max combined weight, 370. And then, unless it's raining, 340. It's like, well, what happened on that day it rained?
Exactly, man. That's the thing, dude. That's the quote I heard about OSHA. It's like, those rules are written in blood. You know, like, there's a reason it says, if it's raining, stick to 340. Right. Like, somebody just couldn't stop or whatever, you know? Like, golly.
Now, with that said, again, 10 out of 10 would recommend. They have like a beer garden. It's like, I mean, it's like going to Disney World. As soon as you walk out, you're like in a gift shop and there's like photos of you.
Not so for, like, the faint of heart.
Yeah, it was awesome. And like some people were like, oh, I was going slow. And I was like, Jesus Christ. I thought that thing was going to chuck me out. Finally, I hit the brakes a little bit. But I mean, you get whipping around.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Also, highly recommend. You ever want to get rid of a hangover real quick? I found two things that are sure shot winners: cold plunge, or hop on this fucking alpine slide. Just go for it.
Oh yeah, and that cold. I mean, that water is flowing too. Like, I think people maybe on the East Coast don't understand. Like, this is literal glacier melt. It is so cold.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, dangerous cold. Like,
yeah, your body panics. Sorry to interrupt you.
Right. We were there for like a minute or two. Like, all right, we got to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And did you do it in the morning to cure a hangover?
No. I went to the action park.
Okay.
this was my Friday. Got up, like, showered in a hurry, hit the sled, go into town, walk around a little bit, hit the Munchen House, get a giant beer, and then go over to Cured. It's like Friday, so there's not a lot of people in town yet, and like, the guy's like, try this sausage, try this cheese, whatever. We're like, great. Then our other buddy showed up, he's like, I am starving, I don't like beer. So I was like, all right. So I just randomly, we ducked into a place called Mozart's, which is like upstairs and kind of fancy. Yeah. Been there. I never, what's that?
Good place.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the food was good. I was just, he was like, you know this? I was like, yeah, sure. But like, yeah, it was great. And then, we did like the hat shop. We did all the standard, like, Leavenworth kind of stuff. And then,
did you go to high school brewery? I feel like that place hits too.
I didn't.
Good spot.
As I say, our two buddies stayed in town for a wine tasting. We went back, jumped in the river. What was I gonna say? And then just kind of got the night going. Played a game called, it's kind of like Yahtzee, but it's six giant dice called Yardzee. Yeah, it's freaking fun.
Yahtzee in the yard.
Yeah,
love it.
Right. And then for dinner we had rack of lamb and Yorkshire puddings with mashed potatoes.
Nice.
Jesus.
Yeah. Then, a couple hot tubs, couple of beverages, maybe, enjoying yourselves, and we're playing foosball. Got on Couchella. Very confused by the Lisa girl. My buddy's daughter had explained who she was. I was like, all right, I just don't know K-pop. So,
yeah. But, Dad, that's awesome, like a perfect day.
It was pretty ideal, man.
I got to ask, I know we're really outside the window here, but watching Couchella, dips or no?
Ooh.
Ted, maybe I cut out. Did you have dips or no?
Oh, my bad. I was like, sorry. Dips?
Dip, baby, dip? No. Like, dips.
No, food. I was not on, I had nothing to do with cooking on this trip.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah,
I like how Cobb's always angling to extend dip season.
Hey, man, somebody's got to. Somebody's got to be a proponent of it because, before, I mean, Matt, 100 years ago, dip season was 3 days long. And look at us
right.
now.
Right. No, I mean,
some people call that progress.
Coachella, you can cover the March Madness tournament, different dip for every round.
Bro, I'll tell you right now, I'll eat a nacho at Coachella. I don't care.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, man, I had bought extra soft pretzels in town. So there was a little soft pretzel play during Couchella by the time Gaga hit the stage.
You guys had a little something going. Nice. dude, that's awesome. Oh. That sounds like a great... I mean, Leavenworth is literally... People laugh at me. I'm from Seattle, but Leavenworth always hits. Every single time, I love going there. You just cross over the mountains. The air is dry. That town is awesome. I love the vibe. People are just there to have a good time, and it's like, it's just a little reprieve. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like you did Leavenworth right.
Right. Like, my buddy's kids are, 11 and 13? Like, they had a blast, too. That's what I'm saying. Like, just, it's a good time for everybody.
Yeah, Leavenworth's always awesome.
if you're looking to rage, I wouldn't recommend Leavenworth.
No, it's like adult rage. It's like, I'm gonna drink three beers, I'm gonna play some mini golf, and then hit the hot tub at the hotel.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. what else are you gonna tell you guys? Then Easter was good and everything, and then last week, since I had time off, I went to the Seahawks draft party. Ooh. Which was pretty cool. Was that the, what do they call it now? Is it the Museum of Pop or Mopop?
EMP. Oh, no. So it was the Experience Music Project. And now you're right. I think it's the modern, dude, you're right, Mopop. I don't know
Museum
what that stands
of pop
for, though.
Culture.
Museum of Pop Culture.
Yeah.
There you go. So, I mean, there had to be 300 or 400 people indoors. And then my buddy got us these VIP tickets. So we were outside. And it was awesome, man. Like, let's say Jim Zorn and Steve Largent were out there. Saw our boy G Scott, was talking to him for a minute. And then, yeah, like Cooper Kupp came out, but like he just kind of waved. He took a couple pictures. Same with Sam Darnold. But I didn't realize like they were inside at the real draft party, like giving speeches and stuff.
This could make me sound very ignorant, but is Cooper Kupp now on the Seattle Seahawks?
Correct.
Let's go. Nice. Yeah. How did. Damn, I got to check out the Seahawks draft picks.
Well, that's something I was going to say. It was kind of exciting in that VIP area. Like, people knew ball, right? And then, like, there was a group of like four people next to like me and my buddy, and we had like the main table. Like, the bar was in front of us, the stage was to the right. We just set up shop early. So I was like, man, you guys could sit your drinks down and hang out with us. And this dude, I forget what he did, but like, he really knew the draft picks and this and that. So, like, by the time the Seahawks draft that kid, that offensive tackle, we're like high-fiving. We're like, that was the pick. That was the pick. Didn't lose a rep at the Senior Bowl. That's what I heard.
Chopping it up. That's awesome.
Yeah. Got a picture with Blitz.
That's huge. That's huge.
Yeah. You got these fancy little rocks glasses when you came into the VIP area, and they had somebody engraving them right there.
Whoa.
Dude, that is very VIP. Damn. Yeah. Would you get engraved in yours?
There was a limit on letters, but it was later in the night, and I don't know. We might have greased her $20, but we got Seahawks draft 2025, Phil and Ted, and then mine say Seahawks draft 2025, Ted and Phil. I mean, you want to talk about two dudes that were beyond excited. I don't even think she took the 20. She was like, it's fine. We were like giddy, like, oh, yeah, get our names on them. And then we'll each have which one. Like, do you have a Phil and Ted? Do you have a Ted and Phil?
That's awesome, man. God. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just scrolling through these draft picks. This was a huge mistake.
Yeah. Well, the other thing was last week was gorgeous up here, boys. I'm telling you, it was like mid-70s at that draft party. And then, like, the next day, I ran into my buddy Rob kind of early in the day, and he's like, I don't got to pick up the kids till 4. It's like, I got the day off. Boom. Grab burgers, charcoal. We're grilling.
Damn. And grilling the right way. Charcoal. Wow.
Yeah. And then he got out, like, his thing and everything, so we had smash burgers. And it was top notch. Got some shrimp. I was like, yeah, it's the last day of vacation. Let's go big.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. It's always nice to hear like somebody took full advantage of their vacation versus like, oh, I just kind of got some things done around the house. You're like, no. Not Ted Smith. Not today. Not after the winter we've had. This is our year, goddammit.
Also, you guys are familiar with that meme. Like, he says he knows a spot. Right? So, Cobb, the first time I ever went to this bar when you're going up Route 2, I forget the name of it. It's like something Roadhouse or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
Right. So it's a fine bar, you know, but I mean, it's like a Roadhouse. Like, Matt, the first time we went in there, Cobb's in a wig. Like, it's us two, the mayor's cousin. And like, we order shots of tequila and put on like Backstreet Boys or something crazy. And like, wasn't sure how people were going to like us. Fast forward 2 hours, like, we know everybody in there. They like us.
But we know everyone in town.
Right. But it's like, the bathrooms are like saloon doors. You know what I mean? So another friend of ours, I had kind of stolen her for the weekend. And like 20 minutes before that, she's like, I hate to tell you, I got to pee. And I was like, no worries. I know a spot. It's like, right? Are the bathrooms clean? I was like, I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure, but it's only 11:30. They should be fine. But that's where we stopped.
Yeah, that's in Gold Bar, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Home of the Gold Barbarians. Love it. Yeah, dude, that was fun. Honestly, that bar, I mean, yeah, you spent 2 hours in there, and if you meet everybody, you'd pretty much know everybody in town.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very fun.
But it was just like that meme, like, yeah, I'll find you a bathroom. It's just a roadhouse I know.
Matt, did you just throw on glasses?
Yeah, they're blue light blockers.
Oh, bro,
mine are in the other room.
I was like, have I not known that you wore glasses for 10 years? I was like, Jesus Christ.
I wear them a lot, dude. I don't mean considerate,
but this is, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, so, they're like the circle ones.
Yeah.
So I feel like you're going to explain either an explosive or some new drug you have to me.
Yeah, they do. They're a little more like sophisticated.
Do you want to go behind door number one or door number two, Ted? All
right. Does
do you have
door
any
number
explosive drugs?
Right. Do you want to have a blast but shit your brains out all night? I got something for you.
You're in luck.
All right, Cobb, I'll assume you don't know about this. Matt, help me out here. Did you see anything about the Bill Belichick interview this weekend?
I did.
I did.
I saw the
somebody's got to get that girl in line.
So I didn't see the full interview or anything, but apparently the interview, you know about Bill Belichick's girlfriend?
We're not talking about this.
Yeah.
It's like, who the hell do you think you are?
Yeah.
Incredible. Sorry.
And then I found this whole thread of why she's most likely a sex worker based on that. And it went into like Robert Kraft getting busted at that R&T in Florida. And they're buddies, but yeah, it was a whole, there's a whole Twitter like thread about why she's most likely a sex worker. I did not write it. I'm not saying I believe it. This does not reflect the podcast viewers or opinions, but it's out there. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that or, like, I think there's services, too. They're just like, hey, are you, like, a hot Instagram model and you're under 30? Do you want to meet a rich dude? Like, if they were like, that's what it is, I'd be like, all right. Like, who? I don't care. I mean, look, the bottom line is this, right? He's 70-something. She's 24, right? It's 54 years. Like, that's just, that's a long gap.
He knows what he's doing.
I like all the memes that are, like, reference his coaching, you know, victories. And it's like, she was six when that happened.
Oh, my God. Well, she's not six now. I just like to put that out there.
Right.
No, I know. But, like, I don't know. Like, right. Like, first of all, it's odd to me that he's coaching at a college. And then you have the whole argument, like, was it the, you know, was it all Tom Brady? Like, obviously, the first couple of Super Bowls are all Belichick. But, like, you know, like, there's always cheating scandals, there's Deflategate. So, like, there's always some stuff around it. And then it's like, all right, you're the greatest coach of all time. Brady leaves, you're horrible. Now you're coaching at a college. And then it's like, and I have a girlfriend that's 50 years younger than I am. And when I saw him at the spring game and she was, like, organizing running stuff, it's like, my bad. Does she know ball?
Well, dude, you know, I mean, how deep in these conspiracy theories do we want to go? Because I can hit you with one. So, Ted, oh, man, actually, I just realized that people are going to listen to this. Maybe I shouldn't say this out loud. Well, okay. There is a, you know what? This is a light one. Sure, why not? Ted, for a while, we had at least discussed the possibility that, you know, Pete Carroll's youthful vigor on the sidelines was due to the time he spent at USC, being near, you know, young, vibrant energy. And maybe Bill Belichick's trying to get his magic back. You know, now he's on campus. He's dating a 24-year-old. Like, you know, maybe he's drinking green juice. Like, we might see a new youthful Belichick.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
I mean, there's like, something. Yeah, I can't say that. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Easy, big cat. He doesn't seem more youthful, though.
Well, not yet. I mean, it takes time for the serum, the fountain of youth, to take effect. You don't just sleep with one 24-year-old, Ted, and you're back to, you know, 10 years off your life. I mean, these things take time. It's not, you know, unicorns aren't real.
Yeah. I mean, also, it's just like he is, I don't know. I'm sure there's a different side of him the public doesn't know. And I'm just like, does he even talk?
I mean, what are they going to talk about, Ted? What on earth are those two going to talk about? Just a jaded Foxborough, you know, former NFL coach down on his luck, and this 24-year-old, you know, presumably non-college co-ed.
Well, that was the first story. They met on a flight, and she told him about her final paper, and he was so impressed, he stayed in touch with her.
Now, oh my God, that's... I'm not even commenting on that. You believe whatever you want.
Again, here's my whole thing. I brought it up. It just seemed like it became a bigger story this weekend when it was like it was on CBS Sunday morning. That's a light, like I used to watch that with my mom in the morning, right? CBS this morning, you know, like Sunday morning. That's what it's Sunday morning. It's got like light, you know, music in and out. Like it's not like a hard, it wasn't fucking 60 minutes, right? It's not like, all right, we're going to grill you. Just like, so you're on Instagram and stuff now. And he's like, yeah, I don't really know about that. I guess I am. Okay. And they like build up the girlfriend. And then it's like, so how did you guys meet? We're not talking about that. All right. Well, shit, man. Now it's awkward.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, they very clearly, you know what? I don't want to say, but it seems obvious to me how they met. I'll just say that. But no problem, though. Here's the thing. No judgment from me. I think it's okay for people to meet like that. I think he's getting what he wants out of it. She's getting what she wants. And, like, I love that. I love that the, you know, modern technology helps enable that. What do you guys think about that? No one is going into that not knowing what's going on, you know?
I just would have a hard time, whatever age the person is, meeting somebody at this point, right, 20 years or 25 years in my career, being like, I'm going to manage your career now. Like, duh, hang on now. Like, right? Like, so saying to me, it's like, it's not even a matter of her age at this point. It's like, no, you weren't around for all this.
Wait, hold on. She's managing his career?
That's like the thing. Yeah. Or his creative muse, as he calls her. And then like her kind of bossing around people in the interview. And then like when I saw her at spring practice, I was like, she got like a headset in, like talking on the microphone, like on the field, like, okay. That's where I'm kind of like, I don't know, dude. Like, you know, if it was my buddy, I'm like, dude, girlfriend's sweet. She's nice. She's smoking hot, right? But like, what are you doing? Why is she at work?
Why is she running the O-line right now?
Right? I mean, look, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she knows ball and goes over technique and, you know, is figuring out a way to get that ball over the top of the two deep safeties. I don't know.
Dude, now I got to look this person up. I haven't actually seen what she looks like. Oh, my God.
I like how you knew the line, though. We're not answering that. I like something did penetrate the bubble down there.
Oh, I know. Yeah, seriously, I feel like I keep my bubble pretty strong. Did you see behind me, though? First TV I've had in 10 years.
Nice.
Wow. We're back in the game. I'm just trying to start playing Call of Duty with a couple friends.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I will also say that, man, it's a great time of year. I mean, Matt can attest, but hockey playoffs are just unbelievable. I mean, that I was going to say, the Capitals in Montreal series, I mean, they are just going at each other.
All right, I'll say this. You know, I can see what he sees in her.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I would just be like, hey, man, clue me in on the info. Why she at work with us?
Yeah, that's good. He's like, because I don't give a shit anymore. Tom's gone. Like, he's not coming back.
Wow. All right, well, let's take a break here. We'll come back with some emails with Matt and the cop topic. All right, welcome everybody back to the podcast. Just chewing up the end of my vitamin C here. Thank you to our sponsors. And I heard recently one of our sponsors, an actual sponsors, my people over at Pinky's Plumbing.
Let's go. Shout out to Pinky's.
Shout out to Pinky's, man. Go Pinkies. One of the guys that owns that business one day came in and brought in a brisket.
Oof.
He lives in Texas. Oof. Now. He knows what he's doing. But, I mean, it was I've had some good briskets. I mean, it was unreal. Like, I was like, Jesus, man. Like, this is up there with, like, restaurants I've had. I was like, damn. No offense to anybody else if I've had your brisket.
That's brilliant. That's going to get some real genuine enthusiasm for you when you're reading spots for them.
Yeah, exactly, right?
These guys are the best.
Man, Ted and I do the commercial for him. It's like, Ted sounds enthusiastic. Like, well, he already liked him. And then they filled him up with brisket.
Pumped him full of beef. That's awesome.
All right, Mr. Cobb, do we got any emails there?
Yes, three. All Cobb right. Topic. In my 38 years, I have never tried eggnog or Butterfingers.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And actually, his PS is something I was about to bring up with you on the break when you were, talking joyfully about the opposite sex. P.S. Ted, the woman grabbed your phone and put her information into it. That's a clear invitation to get in touch with her. I completely agree, sir.
Yep, yep.
I was about to ask, did you reach back out to her?
I have not.
The people deserve to know.
They do. I know. I just got to send that DM. And then we're almost on 2 weeks. It'd be too late. But yeah. She is posting at a much higher rate.
Much higher than what?
There was hardly any.
Oh, I thought you had no baseline.
Well, but through the history.
Ah, nice. Oh, so you are interested.
Odd that door open.
I love this journey for you.
Oh, by the way, not having a Butterfinger. All right, I could fathom that. Like, you never took a sip of eggnog?
Honestly, the Butterfinger seems weirder to me. One of the top five candies in America. Ubiquitous. You can pick it up in any convenience store coast to coast.
Year round.
Nog, I just feel like it's seasonal. A polarizing candy bar.
Tough to approach. That's true, but you at least try one. It is polarizing, no question. I can understand someone not liking it.
Like, I don't know that I've ever actually bought a Butterfinger.
That's what I was about to ask. Like, where are you guys on? I could see Matt being a Butterfinger guy.
No, never one of my favorites.
No? God, me neither. Hell yeah.
The Ted, podcast. I don't know if I've ever bought one. I just had them at Halloween.
Pump the stock, boys.
All right. So we're all in the same boat. Like, yeah, you know, trash. I'll eat a fun size one, but like, I'm not going to buy one.
They're legit trash.
But people are out there eating it.
I always wonder, dude, there's some brands like that are huge that I'm like, who is this? Like, I was wondering, like, okay, so one, of course, I eat a lot of fast food. I'm proud of it. I talk about it, but everyone says they don't go to fast food, but like the drive-thrus are always full. Like their numbers are always crazy. And I was wondering, like, who the hell eats at Burger King? And I finally found out my wife's brother. It's his favorite fast food. And I was like, what on earth is wrong with you? Burger King? Just so bizarre. You don't meet any Burger King regulars ever.
You know, it's funny. Last week, one day, I was driving around, and I specifically was like, well, actually, full disclosure, I went down to the Dick's in Lake City. But there was, like, a street closed to, like, get to it. So then I was like, I don't know where I'm going. So I went to Burger King, got two cheeseburgers.
Nice. Whopper, or what are we doing?
I got two cheeseburgers.
Like, just a regular cheeseburger?
Yeah.
Home of the Whopper, regular cheeseburger. Unbelievable. Yeah, Dick's cheeseburger does hit. I don't know. I haven't had their regular cheeseburger, but
I'll tell you what.
I mean, I'll support Burger King, but you're right. I don't know. And they've done a lot better recently, all those goddamn ads during football.
That's the thing. I'm not saying Burger King is bad. I have no problem with Burger King. I'm just always surprised some of these brands. I'm like, who is going to Culver's? Who's going to Checkers? Who's going to Long John Silver's?
I used to love Checkers when I lived in Maryland.
There you go. Matt, I know you're an In-N-Out guy. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
In-N-Out, very popular.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, how is Del Taco hanging on? Actually, I like Del Taco. That's a bad example.
I think sometimes, too, you got to keep in mind that, like, me and you live in major metropolitan areas. And I feel like the real consumer of fast food is always going to be out in the suburbs.
That's true. I'm just saying. I used to live in the suburbs. I didn't know anyone. There's a Burger King a mile from my parents' house. I don't know a single person who ever went there. They switched it to a Starbucks like 3 years ago. Burger King just doesn't hit in the Kingsgate area, my guy. I'll tell you right now.
I don't know, man. I'm just saying, like, I remember being a kid. It's like McDonald's or Burger King. Like, Burger King's got this, but McDonald's has that.
Yeah, look, I don't deny Burger King's burgers are pretty good, but just not for me. I'm a Wendy's guy. Jack in the Box. All right, moving on. Vinyl. Hey, boys. Ted, are you high or me?
I was like, I don't want to go down another bad path. But I was like, who's a Wendy's guy? And I like Wendy's. But I mean, I can't say, I think I've had Wendy's once. Like,
bro, I've literally been to the headquarters in Dublin, Ohio.
That's so funny.
I track inflation by the deluxe double stack, which, by the way, was 99 cents when I was in high school. Now it's like, depending on where you go, like $2.97. Think about that. Our money is worth one third what it was. Crazy. Anyway, back to the emails.
All right, Wendy's guy.
Yeah. Vinyl. Hey, boys, shout out to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
I'm a bit behind on the podcast. I just hit the first episode of 2025, and hearing Matt talk about vinyl and Ted bringing up the Bee Gees, so I must say it. Find yourself a copy of the Foo Fighters record where they're covering Bee Gees songs. It's called Hail Satan. I like a lot of music. This is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, set of covers ever done. Hearing Dave hit those high notes is next level awesome. I'm mainly a hard rock, metal, and gangster rap guy and did not grow up with the Bee Gees, so there's really no reason I should like it. But I'm telling you, it is awesome. Unfortunately, the album was only released on vinyl on Record Store Day 2021, and all 3,000 copies they printed sold out immediately. Last I looked, an unopened copy was coming out at least $400, and that's for one of the lower ones. Fear not. Thankfully, somewhere across the pond, there's an entire slew of people, real-life angels, bootlegging this album so that us vinyl nerds who missed out on an official can get one without going broke. The unofficial versions are sourced with the exact same, or the same exact vinyl master audio, so the only real difference is the cover art might be a bit blurry, but not always. Keep your eyes open for it in shops, because shops do sell unofficial albums, bootlegs, so if you see an unopened copy for like $40 to $80, it'll be a boot. The real ones will be held up by the counter with a gargantuan price tag on it. You can listen to the album on streaming, but I'm telling you, this album was mastered for vinyl, and it absolutely sounds insane. Happy hunting, Matt. Cheers, boys. The real James P. Sullivan.
That's a great tip.
Yeah.
That's your response after all that?
Well, I was just thinking about, like, my record guy, Dale, would probably have a bootleg.
Oh, nice. You got a record guy? That's huge.
Yeah, he's right next to my barber. Next time I get a haircut, I'll pop in and be like, track me one down, dude. I'll pay your markup. It's fine. I like supporting it. Like, everything that he gets for me, like, I could just get. It's not that hard. But he's just all about it. It's just fun to support him. But yeah, that's a fun one to send him on the hunt for. And he, yeah.
Is he behind the counter when you go in there?
6 days a week or 5 days a week. He has a guy that works on the weekends.
I like the idea too. You like call him down, like, you know, the other end of the counter. Like, all right, she's a bootleg, but here's what I need.
Here's what I need. Last seen on the UK market.
Right. Yeah. You just slide $80 and $20s over.
Yeah.
I know you're good for it, Dale. Yeah.
That's awesome. I do love, like, just supporting somebody like that who's just a record hunter, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'll track one down.
It's a record store and a skate shop in one.
Oh, nice. that's an alternate winning universe business model.
Yeah.
I love that. Unreal. And can I tell you about another winning business model that I've been supporting that I think is actually awesome?
Yeah.
So you got that guy as your local. So for us, obviously we have a dog. It's a small white Westie named Ricky. And so we live in an apartment downtown Austin. So, you know, like, there's a lot of dog parks around, whatever, but he gets lonely. He doesn't get to play that often. And so now we found out that there's like this underground network of people who have a text message thread, and it's invite only, and they all text. And so tomorrow morning I'm going at 6:15 a.m. down like a couple blocks away to this parking lot, and we wait for a Mexican woman in a white van. She pulls up, she piles 12 dogs in, takes them all day, $20 a dog, and just they go crazy in her backyard. She just runs like a 1 day a week dog daycare, goes ham. She loves the dog. She's awesome. Our dog went for the first time last week, and waiting for this woman, there 9 of the dogs that were there were going absolutely bananas. And I was like, this is the greatest single review I have ever seen of a service in my life. She pulls up and dogs, like golden retrievers, are literally leaping into this vehicle. It was crazy. And yeah, so anyway, I'm taking her tomorrow, but it is so illegal and so cool and so appreciated that it's just like $20. And it's not like a regular dog daycare. We're like, oh, 9 to 5. 6:15 a.m. drops them back off at 7 p.m. So it's like, this woman is an angel.
Damn.
Yeah. Just white van. Like, you know, we're not talking about business licenses and insurance, boys. We're talking about a woman with a van and a plan. Anyway, whatever. I can go back to the emails now, but I dropped that since he's talking about his record guy.
I don't know if I have anything as cool as this.
What? Yeah, Ted, do you have a guy?
I mean, I have like guys at restaurants and a guy at a bar, but like, do I have a guy for stuff?
I feel like you have good like random plugs around town. Yeah. What's like a hilarious small business that you like supporting? Like, for instance, a skate/record shop.
I don't know. I do like those things. Like BuzzFeed always has a list of like, send us your businesses or restaurants that you think are money laundering because of how much the real estate is. And this one lady's like, I went to this like rice pudding shop in like Upper West Side. It's like there's nobody in there. Like, it's good rice pudding, but it doesn't make sense how it survives.
Yeah. Honestly, the biggest culprit, rug shops.
Yeah. And they're always out of business.
Yeah. Well, sorry, my dog's going crazy.
One more email in there.
Yeah. Sorry. Legends. Questions for Cobb and Matt. Thoughts for Ted Smith. Cobb, taking my family to Australia for 2 weeks next Christmas and New Year's Eve. I have 10-year-old twins. I know you went to Melbourne. What's a must-see or eat spot? Oh, that's a good question. Matt, it's been a while since I've been to Palm Springs. Saved every spot you talked about. But easy hike with the kids.
Easy hike with the kids?
Yeah.
Okay. There's some like one, it's pretty close to downtown. It's in Palm Springs proper. And it has like waterfall, like an oasis and a waterfall that like sometimes is more wet than others, I would say. And yeah, I can't remember if it's the Lichen Trail or the South. It might be the Tockwitz Canyon. Yeah, I think it's the Tockwitz Canyon, Tahquitz Canyon. Yeah, I think that's the easy one that we did that one time where it's just kind of flattish. It's only a couple miles. Yeah. That one. Yep. First review. Great for adults and children. Oh, you have to pay. Okay. Watch out for that. But yeah. Just the adults have to pay. But it's a really cool one. I don't remember paying for it, but it was probably worth it. And I remember being like, well, that was kind of short and not challenging, which I think is exactly what you're looking for with kids.
Yeah.
Nice. For Melbourne, I would say either getting just like a walk in downtown along the Yarra River. So like kind of Fed Square, the Crown Casino, and like the Melbourne Sky Deck, which really is a great, I mean, it's the highest viewing point in Melbourne. Really cool. That's like a good, easy one to do with the kids. It's right downtown. The aquarium and stuff is right there. The other recommendation would be St. Kilda Beach. Just really immaculate. Pretty nice. But you're going to have an awesome time. Melbourne's a great town. You really can't go wrong. And yeah, a lot of incredible food and incredible people. And then Ted, he asked something of you too. Oh, Ted Smith, random sports. Did you get into AFL during, or did you ever get into AFL? During COVID, I became an Adelaide Crows fan. LOL. Can't wait to go to the AFL shop in Melbourne.
I've seen it. I watched like the Grand Championship. It's usually on like a Friday night or whatever. But my buddy Damon. The Grand Final. Plays. The Grand Final, yeah. My buddy Damon, he still plays Aussie Rules football up here for the Seattle Grizzlies.
Nice. Steven, yeah. I have a good recommendation for you on that. If you want to watch a great AFL documentary, Such Is Life, the Ben Cousins documentary. And I vacillate between being a West Coast Eagles guy and what's it called? St. Kilda. That's it.
All right. All right. That is where the best punters come from too. Not rugby, the AFL. They know what they're doing. All right, let's check in with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening,
hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening,
hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out what's maddening.
I'm trying to think. So I did weekend two of Coachella over with Carson the Lawyer. And his girl at their place, and they have a gigantic TV screen. That was also WrestleMania weekend, so we watched a bunch of WrestleMania, which, yeah, Ted?
Oh, I'm just waving at the dog.
Oh, Ted's waving at the dog. I thought you were like, I watched WrestleMania.
Yeah, sorry, he was freaking out, so I had to pick him up.
Yeah, what's up, Ricky? So WrestleMania was streaming on Peacock. It wasn't even pay-per-view. So that was fun. I haven't watched wrestling in a long time, and I really enjoyed it. And, you know, then we'd just, like, be moving around the TVs, WrestleMania on the small screen, Coachella on the big screen, or vice versa, and lots of great food. It's just always fun to get together with those two. And they got a sweet, sweet pad. Always worth the drive. So that was fun. And then Thursday, we went to the arena where the Firebirds usually play, and they had the Sasanta 2.0 tour, which I think version one came through Seattle last year. But it's Primus and then both of Maynard's bands that aren't Tool, Pussifer and a Perfect Circle.
I never got into Pussifer, but I do like APC.
Yeah, Pussifer's cool, man. They're weird, but they're cool. And that was just an awesome show. Like, they start the music, and there's like an intermission, but it's not like one band, then the next, and it's over. It's like they do like Pussifer would do three songs, then Primus would do three songs, then a Perfect Circle would do three songs, and then they just like keep cycling through. So they're always kind of going in and out, and the music never really stops except for the actual intermission, which is like 10 minutes. And they had three drum kits on stage, and it was just like no phones allowed. So it's just a very immersive experience where the music.
That's cool too, man.
Huh?
Like, I like it when shows do that with, like, you know what I mean? Like, keeps you interested. Even when I saw Nas and Wu-Tang, like, they did that. Like, Nas came out, did a bunch of songs, and he left. I was like, I hope that's not the whole set. Like, Wu-Tang did a few. And then, like, Nas came out and did the bangers. And then he left. And then, like, Wu-Tang came out and did their bangers. Like, it was like, oh, this is great.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of fun the way they laid it out. And they'd, like, have members from the other bands join them for certain songs. And, like, all the bands were on for the last song, Grand Canyon. By Pussifer, which we listened to a bunch when we drove to the Grand Canyon a few years ago, so that was cool.
and, basketball program.
Huh?
I said basketball program.
Yeah. God, will they ever make it to the Elite Eight? Come on, guys.
Not when they're playing the Terps.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was just a really fun show. I like when they, you know, it was like all the announcements before the show were like, no phones, you will get kicked out, you know. And then Maynard came out, and after the first song, he's like, no phones. If you guys are good, we'll let you take your phones out for the last song. And everybody can, you know, get that. But for the rest of the show, it's just us. And it was really fun. And then, of course, next to us, someone showed up, I don't know, an hour into the thing. Their phone must have been on max brightness. And I was like,
oh,
dude, put your phone away. Look around. He did. He was cool about it. But I was not my nicest self. That was just like, you did not just come in here and start blasting me with your bright ass blue light, bro. Get out of here.
That's brutal. Like, of course, next to me. Thanks.
Yeah, right next. I mean, and like, we had the whole row to ourselves at that point. And they had the two seats right next to us, and they sat in them. I'm like, you could have sat three seats down that way. We moved over, and after I told them that. But yeah, it was just like, it was still a great show. And that was just kind of a funny moment of it, where I was like, he probably thinks I'm a huge asshole. And like, fair enough. I understood that he didn't hear the announcements because he's getting there an hour and a half late for a 2.5 hour show. Like, but yeah. Great time. Awesome experience. Let's see. It's before that, the Firebirds game one. I haven't gone to the Firebirds playoff games. I just watched them both on TV because I paid for the streaming thing. And the first game, they were up 3-0 in the first. And then in the third, the other team scored two with like 8 minutes to go in the third. And then they scored a third with 7 seconds to go. And then went to overtime, went to double overtime, and the Firebirds won in triple overtime.
Jeez, Birds in three.
Birds in two. It was a best of three. So then they won the next game.
I know. I just meant.
So that was a big deal. And yeah, I'm hoping they're still alive when Ted comes down. We get to go to a game together. But yeah, I played some golf this weekend too. I played a new course that I haven't played before that one of my clients is a member at. It's not like the course I work at. He's just a member at two clubs. So he took me to his other one and it was pretty epic, man. Like, it's kind of similar to the one I work at where it's right in the mountains, but it's like, it's a different part of the mountains and the views are different. So, it was great. I had two different 300 yard drives to let him know that his trainer can hit the ball really far, even if I can't putt or score very well.
It's about sending a message.
Yeah.
That does seem stereotypical of the yoked up trainer. Like, he can't putt for shit, but man, he drives the hell out of it.
Train wreck inside of 100 yards, but
right. Son, you ever use a wedge? What's he saying, Happy Gilmore? You're going to get a towel, some lotion. You're never getting off that beach.
Yeah. So he saw all facets of my game. But yeah, getting those two just crushed felt real good. And yeah, it was him and his wife, and he invited me and my dad. So my dad had never played there before. So it's just cool to like get him on a new course. And yeah, it was a nice place. A lot of fun.
Dude, I can tell you, me and my cousin, we used to play this just crappy 9-hole course in PG County, right? I can't remember. It's probably closed now. But we're playing 18 one day, and same thing. We go to make the turn. I've never been able to drive the ball that well. He just crushes one straight down the pipe, right? And these four dudes behind us are like, oh, all right. And then I just unleash one. To this day, it's probably the greatest drive I've ever had. It's just like a simple par four straight ahead. And I mean, those dudes were like, oh, all right. We're like, yep, just hopped in our cart. Like, as we're driving off, I'm like, those are the greatest two drives we're ever going to have with like an audience.
That's awesome. Act like you've been there before.
Right, exactly. Oh, speaking of which, I think it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
So we were talking Coachella, Couchella, as some say, when they're watching from home. And Seattle native, Benson Boone. So he's got like a little bit of like a Freddie Mercury vibe going on. In fact, they did a Queen song at Coachella, which was, you know, the source of some controversy, it sounds like. Anyway, cop topic this week. I figured, you know, a lot of people are KSW fans. They'll have some deep music knowledge. Who are the greatest male singers of all time? I'm just kind of interested to hear your guys' opinions and also, you know, the listeners. So feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. Two E's on the. Who are the greatest, who's the greatest male singer of all time? Or who's like one of your favorite male singers of all time? Because it doesn't necessarily have to be about like power and range. You know, it could be anything, whatever draws you in.
I say it depends on the genre. But, I mean, Freddie Mercury is pretty hard to argue with.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my first thought is Sinatra.
Mm. Totally different styles. But, yeah, Sinatra is incredible.
Man. Yeah, that's a tough one, especially in rock.
Yeah.
Not really. You're used to their voice, and it's hard to imagine those bands without them, but, like, I don't know that traditionally I would say like James Hetfield has the greatest voice, but as far as like one of the greatest voices in rock, I'd put him up there.
Well, and also some people's voices are like their own instrument, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
just so unique.
Freddie Mercury is like the first name that comes to mind. I would also put Chris Cornell.
Good call.
Nice.
Good
call.
And I actually saw him, like, it was like a visceral, like, I felt things. I felt attraction to him. And just hearing it in person on that first Audioslave tour was just like a really like impactful day for me. And yeah, then, you know, the other one that comes to mind is a local guy that's not as famous as Chris Cornell is John Beckman from 10 Miles Wide, formerly of the Mothership. I just love his voice. Like it just every time, you know, I'd hear him sing, it was just like this religious experience. I would put him right up there with anyone, at least in my personal thing. Like it's not a conventional great voice, but as a rock guy, John's one of the greats that I've ever seen live. And the famous ones, Chris Cornell's at the top of that list.
I would say of the thing I've seen in person, the best singer I've ever seen was Stapleton. Chris Stapleton was he's unreal.
Insane live.
Yeah, I'd put Brent Smith, Shinedown, up there too. He has really good range.
I was going to throw the Panic at the Disco guy in there too. Live, really incredible. The Imagine Dragons guy too, but that's kind of more like his songwriting is also really good. What's that guy's name? Dan Reynolds, I want to say. Yeah.
Sounds right.
Dan Reynolds.
And as heard on this podcast once upon a time, Michael Starr from Steel Panther is like legit amazing. If you don't believe me, look up their cover of I Want It That Way by Backstreet Boys, and you will hear that, like, yes, they're a joke band, but those are all insanely talented musicians, and his range as a singer is just unreal for that 80s sound.
Dude, you know what I always think about Steel Panther? Sorry, Ted. It's just that they, I feel like they made a living doing what they love, regardless of what the world had to say. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of hair music and stuff was over, and they're like, that's what we want to do.
Yeah, they get it. I would put a lot of the Yacht Rock guys in there too, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. But, yeah, I mean, as long as we're... Matt, who's the guy from Spokane? Miles.
Miles Kennedy.
Yeah. he's got a unique, I think, really good voice too. But I mean, it's tough because there's so many different genres of music. Yeah. You know, it's like country guys feel like it's a little easier to be like, that guy can sing, but you know, there's some R&B dudes that can sing their ass off.
Oh yeah, well, and some of them too. It's just the emotion, like Teddy Swims, for instance. You're just like,
love him.
You know, is he the greatest singer? No, but like, can you feel the pain? Oh yeah,
yeah. I love that dude.
Me too.
Yeah. All right, well there you go. We will we'll be back next week. Yeah, I think there's anything special coming up. Oh, Kentucky Derby is this weekend. Just putting that out there if you want to play some bets. I'm going to place a bet this Saturday. Then I'm going to smoke a cigar like I do once a year at the Kentucky Derby.
Love it.
Yeah. All right. For MCTP, for Cobb, I'm Lee Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.